Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio, and we got obviously a lot to talk about this week. Before we get going, I got to tell you this. I have a friend who I have known this girl for at least 10 years, pretty much since I arrived in Cleveland. I met this girl. We became friends maybe a couple years later. She was a bartender at a bar that I used to go to all the time. It is relevant to the story that she is a lesbian. And she was working her
left. Very hot one, by the way.
Incredibly hot. Yes. Beautiful person. And
right. But she's very nice. But
very nice, but
she's smoking.
She is smoking hot. And so it was her last day at this bar. So I stopped in to, like, you know, have her pour me my final drink from her. And it was right after the inauguration. And she asks me if I watched it. And I said, I had it on. And I'll be honest, I had it on in part because if something crazy happened, I wanted to be able to run to the TV and see what was happening. And as she's asking me that, she said, oh, you're a Trump guy, right? And I'm sitting there like, what in the actual fuck? Well, clearly she doesn't listen to our show.
Right.
So I've got Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
And I'm a Trump backer.
You just can't win.
They need to get their shit together and tell me how to act.
Yeah.
Wow. But I think it's curious, though, because, you know, we even talked about this. I'm a straight white guy with a shaved head and I drive a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. Demographically, you're probably gonna guess right. If you guess Trump, you know, yeah, see me and see what I'm driving and see, you might well guess that. Now, right, none of my words or actions would give you any reason to believe that.
And I think there's that's disappointing only because I think it goes to a broader picture, right? That Trump was very divisive.
Right.
And people very early on drew lines in the sand. And there was very few in the middle, and I think that people made a lot of assumptions, presumptions about, you know, people around them. And I think there were a lot of people, especially on your progressive left, that were scared.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were scared about, they were worried about violence, they were worried about legislation that could actually hurt or harm them or allow them to be hurt or harmed in some sort of way. And I think that a lot of people just said, well, you look like you would be a Trump supporter, right? And right, what are you basing that off of, right? I mean, other than looks, that's crazy.
Shaved head.
But, I mean, there's something to it to a degree, especially if you looked at the people that, you know, overran the Capitol building. But, you know, that just, to me, is a little, it's not a huge deal. I'm sure you, right, explained it to her pretty, yeah, easily and quickly. But to me, that you know, you wilt a little bit when you hear that because you would think that, you know, people's personal relationships, that they would know each other enough to not just automatically assume,
and
right?
The reason I brought up that she was gay is I think there's also in that community, there's kind of a defense mechanism because you wonder, she didn't come out to me until we had known each other for like 3 years and she was hammered. Yeah. When she came out. And when I was like, yeah, cool, I figured it out when I saw you making out with your girlfriend the other day. it was kind of a giveaway. But she, you know, she like hugged me randomly because it was like, oh, good, I don't need to hide this from you anymore.
Yeah.
So I think in the kind of the reverse of that is maybe a lot of times people don't want to find out. They know, you know, we've been friends for a long time. She knows she likes me and she's afraid to ask if you support this jackass in the White House. Yeah. Because if I say yes, then I'm sure she would take it like, okay, so
we can't. Yeah, and there were, listen, there were a lot of, there were and are a lot of people who they don't talk to certain friends and family anymore because of Trump.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not Trump supporters and the friend or family member is, and the conversations turn into arguments and they get very heated, they get very personal, they get very emotional and they stop talking.
Right.
I really tried to avoid that the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, whether it was in person or social media. I didn't, you know, there's only one person I could think of where I completely cut off over, you know, politics and their kind of support of, you know, Trump and whatever. And then on social media, there were some people that I got rid of maybe on Facebook, where I'm like, how do I even know you? You know, I mean, and there were a few people, like they were a friend of a friend, and you know, maybe we had commented on something in the past similarly, so it's just like, oh, let's be friends on Facebook or whatever, and then, you know, they come out and say something really crazy, and I'm like, hey, that is a little bit not accurate by at all. Right, and then they come out with something crazy. You know, it's just like, you know what? I don't even know you. Why the fuck am I? Like, right. Just go away. So there were a few of those, but for the most part, I didn't. You know, I tried to avoid that because I like the idea of, look, once this is over, let's try to find some common ground again. You know, with some people, and some people, it's just like, you know what? I'm gonna just keep an eye on you because you showed me that you're a complete fucking psychopath. So I just need to know what your deal is and how far you're willing to go with this. Because there's some people that legit made me nervous with how kind of off the rails they went on both sides of this thing. So yeah, that's interesting. That's too bad, but I'm glad, you know, fortunately it didn't cause an issue and you guys were able to work it out. She moving on to her next thing and you got your drink.
My last drink served by Vicky. All right. So, prior to leaving office, the president pardoned a whole bunch of folks,
yep,
including our buddy Steve Bannon.
Yep.
I actually don't want to beat Trump up on this one too much because all presidents, not all, but every president I can remember did a lot of last-minute pardons. Now, there's a lot of sketchy ones in here, but that's not a rare thing.
All right, so here's the deal. Can we talk about pardons for a second?
Sure.
They're pardons. The people are criminals, right? Yep. So, like, there's not many pardons you're going to be happy about. Now, you know, everyone, like, wants the person had a dime bag of weed and they went to jail for life. Yeah, those are fucking terrible. Let's overturn as many of those. Let's get those people out. In fact, you know, screw pardons. We need legislation to deal with that. But the reality is there are fewer and fewer of those as we get away from, you know, the crime bill, and we get away from the late 90s and the early 2000s. Like, there are fewer and fewer of those sort of, oh, it was just a dime bag of weed, so this person is going to jail for 20 years or life or whatever it is. The reality is, a lot of these cases, it was, yeah, there was a dime bag and a shotgun and cocaine and prior warrants and priors and everything else. And if we want to talk about the overall criminal justice system, I'm more than willing to have that conversation. We've talked about it before. But let's just be honest. They're fucking pardons. These people are fucking criminals, right?
Yeah.
Some of them got a raw deal, but a lot of them didn't, right? Every president, you know, pardons shady people. And Clinton still takes the cake with some of the worst pardons of all time. He pardoned fucking terrorists that killed people.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's why they did a fucking Senate investigation, bro.
Okay, well.
So, as much as we want to beat Trump up over this, yeah, he pardoned Bannon and
Jared Kushner's dad.
And the dude with the snakeskin jeans and Paul Manafort. And Roger Stone. Like, And General Flynn and all that, and we knew all that sort of shit was coming, right? I mean, we said it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, with the Russia investigation, as those people started to get charged and convicted and everything else, it's like, he's going to pardon them, and he did, to form. Like, none of that was a surprise, and being honest, a lot of that stuff, I mean, with Roger Stone and General Flynn, I mean, a lot of it was process crimes, right? Like lying to the FBI and everything else. And it's just like, it's still serious. And those are still real crimes that regular people who don't have connections to the president they go to jail for extended period of time for. They get punished for them. You know, even famous people. And if you cooperate, you are Felicity Hoffman, right? And you do a couple weeks and you get some community service and it goes away. If you don't cooperate, you're Aunt Becky from Full House and you go to jail for months and you make your life extremely hard. You know, and if you're friends with the president, then you do whatever time you do or you don't and you get a pardon. I'm not going to beat him up over them. I think we've already been down that road with this, and some people are all up in arms because he pardoned Lil Wayne, and Lil Wayne, you know, turned his back on his race and all that. Look, Lil Wayne knew what he was doing. Lil Wayne was facing 10 years in prison right? Fell in with a gun on a plane.
Yep.
You know, a loaded gun and all this other shit. Like, Wayne knew it. He was like, shit, I need a pardon. So what do I got to do to get it? If I got to dress up and look like a fucking, you know, what are those things called when you put the little puppet on the lap and you
man,
ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah.
Dummy, right? Like, that's what he looks, because he's so tiny, right? Like, okay. Little Wayne is all of maybe 5 foot tall. But, you know, if I got to dress up and look like a fucking clown and, you know, kiss this guy's ass and say ridiculous things, whether he meant them or not, but he gets me a pardon, then, okay, am I giving Little Wayne a pass for, sure, fine, I don't give a shit. It's Little Wayne, he makes music, right? Like, I mean, I'm not going to Little Wayne for political advice or whatever. I mean, I still have his music in my playlist because, I mean, he's just fire in the booth. That being said, you know, the pardons, I don't care about. The reason why I was concerned about them prior to seeing the list, what concerned me was him pardoning himself. I didn't even care about him doing a blanket pardon for his kids. I thought that was interesting because it's like, what the fuck did they do other than, you know, Don Jr. and Eric being obnoxious? And there's some sketchy things that went on with Ivanka and her trademarks and everything with China. But ultimately, the kids really didn't do anything that we know of that I was really concerned about, right? Like that I really gave a shit about. It was Trump pardoning himself. Now, outside chance, he may have given himself a pardon, didn't tell anybody, right? Like, because that is feasibly something that he could have done.
Okay.
Right? He could have said, all right, I'm going to pardon myself. Here's the paperwork. He doesn't have to make the announcement. It's just something that could be sitting there. And then if federal charges come down, he's like, aha, look what I got, right?
Right.
I doubt that he did it. I think his ego won't let him do it because I think he genuinely believes he didn't do anything wrong. There's no crime there. There's nothing to see here. So I don't think that he did. But that's something. And the reason why I was concerned about it, because there's some constitutional questions there. And I think, like I said last week, anyone who tells you that it's clear, it's not clear. It's just not. You read the Constitution. You read what it says about the pardon power and a president pardoning himself. I just do not believe that there is a clear answer in there that we can definitively say he can or cannot do, and that's something that the Supreme Court would have to hash out. And that, from a legal perspective, as a legal junkie to a degree, that is something that would intrigue me in terms of, all right, what's going to happen here?
Right. So what would happen? Well, we don't know. Mm-hmm. I honestly never thought of that until you brought it up to me. And it would not shock me at all if he did that, because I do think he's fearing legal recourse. I think he knows. I don't think he's misguided in terms of his knowledge of him being a shady piece of shit. I think he just doesn't mind. He likes making money no matter how he can do it. He got millions of dollars donated to him after the election by saying this election was stolen. And we talked about it a couple shows ago that money was not going to necessarily overturn the election. It was going to his PAC.
Yeah.
From there, it can go pretty much anywhere, I think.
Well, no, it can't, right? Like, that's just the thing. Like, so that's also being investigated by the DOJ out of Washington, D.C. You know, there's a lot going on with his campaign finances being investigated by the Federal Election Commission and then also by the FBI, like the DOJ. So he does have some serious concerns. I just think his narcissism says, nope, I'm fine, I'm above board, they can't touch me. But I mean, maybe we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, that was my big sort of concern about the pardons. And then when I saw the list, you know, he had some people, and part of it too, with him pardoning, you know, Lil Wayne and Kodak Black and Kwame, Kwame Brown, Kilpatrick or the mayor out of
the former Detroit mayor,
Fitzpatrick, yeah. Something like that.
All right.
I think a lot of Trump supporters will say, see, you guys said he was racist and look at these black people that, like, come on, man. That's obviously a poison pill to drop. It's for that specific reason, right? I mean, like, let's get some well-known, high-profile, you know, black people to pardon here so we can make sure we can continue to make the claim that Trump isn't racist and he was everybody's president, which, all right, fine, whatever.
Sure.
I think it's pretty clear that's obvious what went down. Good for them that they got their pardons. You know, the reasoning behind them, it was kind of ridiculous. Like, oh, he's so philanthropic and so kind and caring. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Again, mind you, he got, okay, but anyway. You know, the pardons didn't really, I mean, a lot of people got bent out of shape about them. I still think that Clinton takes the cake for some of the worst. And I'm not as concerned about it unless we find out that he did end up pardoning himself. And if he has like a secret pardon out there for Rudy Giuliani when all the shit really comes to a head.
You know, what you described is basically the presidential pardon equivalent of, I'm not racist, I have a black friend.
Yeah, that's what that was in terms of the pardonings of the you know, the rappers and the mayor out of Detroit. Again, like I said, not the end of the world. But, you know, so that gets us to the inauguration. Trump skips out on the inauguration. He said he was not going to go. He kept his word on that. He was out of D.C., I think, by like 8:30 in the morning. He landed, he touched down in Palm Beach shortly thereafter or wherever. And, you know, give some sort of, you know, sort of, you know, last minute speech where there are people there rooting him on or whatever. And it just, it was, we knew he was going to do it. And I it didn't surprise me, again, because he said he wasn't going to go. But just to see it, right, just to see a president, we haven't had something like that happen in 150 years. Right,
I know that someone said it has happened before.
It's happened.
I think it was in the 1870s.
So it's happened four times before.
Okay.
Right, and so actually, I have him here because I remembered some of this stuff from law school, and then I went back and looked it up. So the first one was John Quincy Adams in 1829. Right. He snubs Andrew Jackson, and then we have Yeah, and then you have John Adams in 1801 snubs Thomas Jefferson, and that's a whole big deal because the election, there was some similar sort of drama about that election being stolen, and so actually out of that 1801 election we get the 12th Amendment, which I thought was interesting, and then in 1829 you got John Quincy Adams who snubbed Andrew Jackson. And I think it's interesting that, you know, Andrew Jackson is actually involved in a couple of these snubs because, you know, Andrew Jackson was just, he was an asshole, right? And so, and Donald Trump idolizes Andrew Jackson, right? He said it a million times, you know, early on, especially when they were talking about removing Confederate things and, you know, slave owners and all that other stuff. He talked about Andrew Jackson all the time. Especially when they were talking about putting Harriet Tubman on the 20 and taking him off. And so, you know, I just think it's interesting that you look back in history and you see sort of Andrew Jackson's involvement with, you know, these sort of different situations. And then you see it's almost like
right.
Trump is mimicking, you know, his idol with some of this stuff. And you have to kind of wonder if that's what's going on or if it's just a coincidence, you know, and it's hard to say.
You know, I'm glad Trump didn't go to the inauguration because I would have sat there the whole time waiting for him to yell out something like fake news or stop the steal. I mean, I would expect him to I would expect him to do something to detract from the event and put the focus on himself. And I'm glad he didn't do that. Of course, if he did, Joe Biden could have repeated what he said in the debate. Just shut up, man.
Yeah. Andrew Johnson was the last one. He snubbed Ulysses S. Grant in 1869. Andrew Johnson also was impeached, but not removed from office. So, you know, it's happened before. Obviously, the last time was 1869, and, you know, Trump brings that back to life with his, you know, very petty sort of behavior on the way out. You know, the inauguration was what it was. Listen, it was a lot of pomp and circumstance. I honestly, by the end of the next day, you know, that day and the next day, listen, glad Trump is gone. I think I don't think he did a good job as a president. I thought he was very divisive more than he needed to be. Obviously, with everything that happened with the insurrection, you know, that automatically disqualifies you from, you know, best president ever.
Right.
And, But just, you know, everybody was just, you know, there was so the drama that was associated with it. You know, people like, oh, you know, people, oh, I was crying because he was gone, and all the, you know, like his whole experience, like I'm just traumatized from the event. Like, and I get it if that's your personal experience. For me, it's just, I don't look at it that way. I understand what they're saying. I empathize to a degree, but at the same time, I didn't need to hear it on the, just so many, right. every radio, talk radio person, we're just taking your calls all day. We're taking your calls. And, you know, right. If you love Trump, it was people, you know, screaming and yelling about Biden and how Trump was done wrong by the media. And then if you hated Trump, it was, oh, it's such a great day and blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of got tired of hearing it. I understand it. I get it. That's just not how my brain works. So once I'm kind of glad we're past that.
Right.
And Biden doesn't get much of a honeymoon, right? Because right. you've got this impeachment, right? Of Trump that's lingering. He's also got his cabinet picks that need to get confirmed. And so they ended up bumping the impeachment so that Biden can get his cabinet picks confirmed. We can get the government up and running. Then the impeachment happens. I understand it. I don't like it. I have serious issues with it because I know where this is going.
When you say, you're saying the trial in the Senate, so the impeachment's yes, already right.
Well,
done.
The impeachment has already been submitted, but I'm talking about the trial that will happen in the Senate. You know, McConnell makes the statement that, you know, he said that Trump provoked the mob and everything else. So I'll go to you first. You know, kind of towards the end of our show last week, you said you think that Biden should pardon Trump. I kind of jumped on you a little bit. I said, strongly disagree. So we've both had a week to cool off. Where do you stand on either Biden pardoning Trump or where should we go with this impeachment? What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, my mom chewed me out when I told her that I thought she literally, I told her, I said, we talked about that, whether, you know, Biden should pardon Trump. And my mom said, did Steve say yes? And I said, no, I said yes. What? I said, and it didn't go well from there, so don't worry. But no, I think, the ball has started rolling. I would like to see this get over as fast and with as little bullshit as possible in terms of stirring people up. I don't want to see another. I just want to forget about it. Now, I think the Senate's job is to carry out the trial. That's their job. So you got to do it. I think there's two votes, right? There's the vote to remove him from office, and he's already gone. There's also the vote to bar him from future federal offices.
Well, so there's some constitutional questions about removing him from office since he's already gone, but I think that you can answer that pretty quick. You can still convict him. Removing him from office isn't necessary. So at that point, you make the vote, like you said, to then bar him from running for office, from federal office again. And to me, that seems like an easy answer. But yeah, anyway, okay. Go ahead. Continue.
So, no, that's kind of where I stand. I have no problem with them doing that. In fact, I think they should do that. There's no way they're going to convict him. There's no way 67 senators are going to vote to convict him. And there are legal issues with that, right? Like he loses protections and he loses, or do we not know?
No, there are, and I don't care.
Okay.
Here's the deal. I said it last week. I've said it, you know, since this insurrection happened. Trump needs to be held accountable. He just needs to be held accountable. He, you know, he's telling people to come here to Washington, D.C. and fight. You know, it's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. You got to come, you know, like all these are things that he said.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, he didn't mean it that way. Bitch, he said, come here and fight. And then they kicked the doors in and they fought. So
and
I'm not exactly sure.
They tried to kill.
Right. I mean, and then now we're in what the one reason why I'm okay. Part of the reason I don't want to see it postponed, even though I understand why they're doing it, is I don't want to lose the momentum. I don't want to lose the anger. I don't want cooler heads to prevail. I want an eye for an eye. I want his head on a platter. Right.
Okay.
Politically speaking. Right.
Sure,
like
sure.
I don't want someone to cut his head off. Right. I mean, you got to
Kathy Griffin. You're not a
right. I don't want, you know, I don't even want Kathy Griffin doing an example of it. I want him to pay for what he did. And how you do that is you make it so he knows, like, look, you will never get a chance to do this again. You will never get a chance to run for office. You will never get a chance to control the people the way in which you did. I don't care if you start another party. You are barred from running for political office. If you do, the votes that people submit for you will not be counted.
Okay.
I want him to feel the weight of that. And like I said last week, we continue to let bad actors off the hook, from the Confederacy to Nixon and now Trump, right? Even Oliver North and what happened with the Iran-Contra scandal, we let these people off the hook, and it continues to get worse. It continues to get worse. And let me tell you, the next time this happens, it may not be a Republican or conservative. Maybe it's someone that you actually voted for, right? And or you know, maybe sure. It's a Democrat or whatever. But whoever it is, I promise you, if you let Donald Trump off the hook, if you don't convict him, and like you, I don't believe that they will. I don't believe they have the spine, the guts, or the brains to do it. But if they let him off the hook, which we know that they will, our democracy is going to fall. Not tomorrow. Not in this year. Not during Biden's. But someone else will realize that there's no penalty, there's no punishment for being a demagogue.
You are not wrong.
And what I'm saying is that then at some point in time in the future, you know, 2 election, 3, 4, 6, 10 election cycles from now, they will be worse than what Trump was. And then the damage will be irreparable. Once our democracy falls, people, like, you don't just rebuild it again like a fucking Lego set. Right, we've seen countries where they've had revolts. We've seen them where they've been torn apart, whether they were democracies or not. It doesn't come back the same, and it takes a long time, you know. And the thing is, everybody wants to talk about how we need to tear it down. Listen, this system, you can't just tear it down and rebuild it and not get your hands dirty, right? You can't. Right, like the way we're built, the way we're integrated, the way everything is tied together, even though a lot of shit is not fair, and even though a lot of shit is very brutal, the reality is if you want to tear this thing down, if you like, listen, the people on the left, you want your health care and you want Medicare for all. And you want the student loans forgiven, and you want all this other shit. Listen, there's a whole other side that don't want it. Right, and I'm not saying that you're wrong for wanting it, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have it, but what I'm saying is that there are other people who don't want it. And if you force it on them, right, just be prepared for what they're willing to do. Or also understand this, if you want to tear the system down, there are people out there who are willing to die to make sure that you don't. Right? It's so important that they keep certain things in place. Right, whether you want to call it white supremacy or whether you want to call it the patriarchy or whatever it is, there are people who are so invested in it that they are willing to die to keep it. So the question is, right, there's a movie called Belly that's a hip-hop movie from when we were in high school. DMX, Nas, Method Man. Nas is a terrible actor, but everybody else is actually pretty good. It was directed by Hype Williams. Point is, there's a scene in that movie where they're sitting at a table and DMX is talking to two young guys and he says, are you willing to bust your gun to get it? You willing to give your life to get it? Yeah, I hear you talking, but I need to see action, right? And then the next scene, kid shoots the kid sitting at the table, right across from him.
Okay.
Now, why do I say that? Because for this system that the progressives want, are y'all really willing to do what it takes to get there, right? Are you willing, or like you want to for like because you talk to a progressive, they say, hey, look, fuck them, we're tired of it, we want our way, and we're tired of the conservatives, and we don't care, and once we get a supermajority, we're going to do all these things. Okay, fine. and we're kind of converging two things here, but what I'm saying is we're at a fever pitch right now. We're at a tipping point where you've got two diverging groups, conservatives and progressives. The loudest are the minority or the fringe of those groups, and they're vying for more power, and they get it because of the way our media amplifies it. So one of these sides is going to get a leader, a very charismatic leader that's able to manipulate their side, right, to get what they want. And that's the sort of thing that can absolutely tear us down if we don't have certain things in place to protect us, to protect our democracy, to protect the very things that we hold true and dear and our checks and balances, right? And some of that stuff is spinning out of control. And if we let Donald Trump off the hook with this vote, right, okay, and they don't convict him, then all of that shit to me goes out of the window, right? And the next one, I don't think we're going to be able to stop. We don't recover from it. It tears us apart. It's worse than a civil war. And you, everyone talks about the future. The future is a fucking shit show.
So on that same note, then, in terms of holding people accountable, what should happen to Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley? two senators who basically were as vocal as Trump about get out there, you know. And to me, both of them are just pure sleazebag politicians who are looking at the landscape and saying, if we don't lick Trump's boots one last time, then the people that got us into this cushy job are not going to keep us there. I mean, Ted Cruz is such a jackass that he almost lost to Beto O'Rourke.
Right.
So
who was an absolute dipshit.
He was an absolute dipshit.
So here's, I thought about this. And on the one hand, I say, listen, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Kevin McCarthy, you know, they did what they had to do, you know, to get elected in their districts. And the way our rules and laws are written, they're able to say basically whatever they want to say, and there's very little recourse. So, based off of, you know, the rules of democracy, we can't say just because we don't like what they say, doesn't mean we should should necessarily boot them out of office, right? Like, that's just me going through the sort of initial analysis. But okay. The reality is, they need to go.
I would say, how is that any different than what you
just
said about
Trump? They need to go. They need to go. They need to be punished. They need to be punished for what they did. Listen, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Kevin McCarthy, anyone who promoted this lie that the election was stolen, right, with no evidence and no right. proof and just made up stories and paid off witnesses that were drunk or high or just pure fucking crazy with no... You know, with no, just again, with no evidence. Everyone, oh, they got signed affidavits. Bitch, an affidavit isn't worth a goddamn thing. All right, so those people, those 142 members of Congress, those seven senators, the law enforcement agents, the you know, conservative media, the people on social media that weren't even getting paid, that were just doing it for free because they like Trump or they just like being assholes online. There needs to be a consequence, and the consequence is that, you know, Cruz, Hawley, Lindsey Graham, all of them, everyone who said this is a lie, we need to figure out a way, that we need to figure out a way to get those votes back, the votes were stolen, blah, 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 all of that shit, to me, was a part of this insurrection, right? It led to it, and here's the deal. The other part of it is that they spit in the face of our democracy because they looked at where these votes were coming from. And every place that they challenged, every single place where they challenged the votes were heavily populated by black people. So what they were telling you, or what they were telling us, and what they were telling those people, and what they were telling the world is, hey, there's no way that those black, that we trust those people who live in that, we don't trust them. We don't trust how they operate. We don't trust that they were able to legitimately get out and vote. We don't trust that those votes were real because of who they are, because of their status, because of their class, because of their race. We don't believe it, so therefore it shouldn't count, and we should only count the people that we feel are worthy, right, of having their votes counted. So if you're in a poor or a majority black neighborhood that's run by Democrats, then you and your vote shouldn't count. That's what they said. And they spit in the face of our democracy and our republic when they did that and they promulgated that lie. So there should be a price that is paid for that. And the question is, the United States, do we have the spine? Do we have the balls, the tits, the clits, whatever you want to say, whatever anatomy is necessary to hold them accountable? And we both know the answer is fuck no, we don't.
Okay, yeah. But I agree with you. And I mean, again, I backed off on the pardon Trump thing last week, and I'm not trying to get back on that. But I think I despise Ted Cruz, and that's well documented. But to me, putting your political ambitions over reality, knowing that you were lighting a match around a powder keg, even if it's not exactly his words, because no one listens to Ted Cruz because he's a douchebag.
No, a lot of people listen to Ted Cruz, and they showed up in fucking Washington, D.C. and ran a Confederate flag into our Capitol
right.
building. So,
which, by the way, anyone who does not condemn that entirely needs to shut the fuck up about any time they claim anything about disrespecting
being a
the flag. Being a patriot, disrespecting the flag. Kneeling during the anthem, that disrespects the flag. You know what disrespects the flag? Tearing it down and putting a Trump flag up. Yep. Making that man your demagogue, right. Those people have to eat a big... You know, want to shut the fuck up forever.
Nope.
I I think at the very least, Cruz and Hawley need to be censured. I mean, if there's no way to remove them from office based on their actions, there needs to be a permanent record of it. And I agree, go after them hard. And that's not going to bring unity, but you know what?
This isn't about unity. I mean, they're saying that because, listen, it's not about unity. And I don't give a shit about unity. You know why? Because it doesn't, like, listen, cooperating with people who were willing to conspire with people who still believe that the Confederacy should have won, people who sympathize with Nazis, people who literally wanted to disrupt our transition of power, our election, our democracy, our republic. I don't need to be unified with those people so that unity shit can kick fucking rocks.
I still have people sending me videos and stuff on social media saying, the evidence is coming. When you finally
evidence see of what?
That the election was stolen, the Chinese Communist Party. Right. They're still not giving up on this.
Okay, like, well, you know what? And honestly, I don't give a shit about those people. They're delusional. They're either lying intentionally or they're so willfully ignorant that it's just not worth wasting time. You have to pay attention to them because clearly they're fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? We have to pay attention to them. We have to keep an eye on them. We have to figure out what the fuck they're doing. And I don't mean government spying and monitoring or whatever, but just me. I'm going to keep an eye on you. I see you doing some shady shit. I see you leaving a package somewhere near a post office or you know, a congressman's office or something along those lines. I'm going to grab you. Right. I mean, or whatever report, it might be. Right. I mean, like we just, no, I'm going to grab you. I'm going to snatch your ass up. I got a lot of pent up aggression. I see you doing something dangerous and you're, you know, if I'm wrong, well, sorry, you know, we'll figure it out. But people need to pay a price. I just think that people need to pay a price. They need to pay whatever there needs to be an actual political price that is paid for these shitty actions. These dangerous actions, these anti-American, anti-democratic actions that these people took. These, you know, it wasn't treason because technically you need another country for treason. But you know, insurrection.
Yeah. Is it necessary? I mean, isn't the Confederacy? If you're aligning with the Confederacy, even though it doesn't exist, is that can't be treason?
Well, yeah, but technically the Confederacy was another country.
Okay, it was. So those people waving the Confederate flag.
Oh yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of. I mean that's a stretch. But I mean insurrection, they're both really fucking bad.
Yeah.
All right. I mean like so.
Splitting hairs over that.
Right. Stop it.
But we got to talk about the dude you sent me the story about.
Yes. So okay. So speaking of insurrection, there one of the people and I hope that you saw this. People saw this story, but. There was a guy who snaps a picture of himself in the Capitol building on January 6th, kind of, you know, during the heat of while all this stuff is going on. He takes a picture of himself. He sends it to his brother-in-law or, well, his girlfriend's brother, I guess because he assumes that his girlfriend's brother, you know, was kind of down for the cause, so to speak. Come to find out that the girlfriend's brother works for the FBI and girlfriend's brother took the picture and forwarded it to the terrorism task force, which they then closed in on the guy who sent the picture and arrested him. So it just kind of goes to show you, you know, on the one hand, this entire situation just really infuriates me. But when I look at who was there and what some of them were doing, you know, I think there's like three different groups. You have the people who kind of just got caught up in the moment. Like once the gates and the doors and everything were breached, they're just like, all right, well, everybody's going in. They kind of like the lemmings, right? Like you have those, and that may be where this guy falls, right? He may be just kind of a lemming that followed the group in and is like, hey, look, I'm inside the rotunda. Look at this. You know, really stupid. Sorry that you didn't realize that what you were doing was a federal crime, but ignorance is not an excuse. And, you know, whatever you get, you get. I think, and then you also have the people who knew kind of what was happening, like they didn't go there planning to do that, but as it happened, they were just like, fuck yeah, I'm all about it, right? And they said, just crash through and whatever happens, happens. And then I think that there were people who, you know, who plotted and conspired. There's some really scary intel or information coming out about the intel that people had. And emails that were received in terms of where the congressmen and senators were and directions right. on how to get to them. And then, you know, we don't know where those emails came from, but it makes it very scary that there were people inside who helped, and inside, was it actual legislators or was it, you know, people who worked in the Capitol building, whatever it might be. So that's the other reason why I'm not completely going apeshit over Trump's impeachment trial being moved out. Because look, if you can, the more you can tie together that there was a legit conspiracy going on, and if you can run down that rabbit hole and find connections to Trump's staff and administration, now Trump's got serious problems. Yeah. Right now, we're going beyond impeachment at this point, I believe, to the point where, you know, all of a sudden the idea of him being behind bars isn't so, you know, foreign, or you know, impossible. I'm not saying we'll get there. I find it hard to believe that they would be, his administration, he would be that stupid. But I think, you know, it's worth digging to see what's there.
And one thing I want to,
I mean, and on the flip side, honestly, even if it, the other thing is like, look, maybe you dig and you can't find a connection, right? All you have is the words. He was kind of watching what was going on Parler, but you know, he ends up being kind of just like this idiot who didn't know what he was doing. And that would also, I'm okay with that, but I'm just scared that you're going to be able to find a connection, you know, to a Stephen Miller or something like that. And then you find an email, you know, or some sort of recorded conversation between him and Trump where they knew way more than they're letting on. And then, you know, that's terrifying and scary, and I hate the idea of it. But, you know, then I think now at least I think I can get more people on my side to say, this guy's got to pay for this.
I'm not arguing with you this week. So Biden gets into office and immediately did a bunch of stuff. And one of the things he did was reverse the plan to leave the WHO.
Actually, what he did was lose all the pop and circumstance to Bernie Sanders in a fucking grifter coat and mittens. That's what, like, can you imagine, like, your president, like, that night, like, you're doing the thing with your wife, and like, hey, we did it, and then everyone's on their phone looking at memes of Bernie Sanders sitting in a lawn chair with a coat.
With mittens.
Looking like every grandfather in the Northeast this time of year. Those memes are ridiculous.
They're funny.
And every time I see one, I laugh because they're all fucking funny and they've gotten bizarre and gross and weird, but they're still great. But anyway, like you said, so going back into the WHO,
reversing our, you know, getting back into the Paris Climate Accord, which I've railed about for years.
Yep.
So he's doing a lot of stuff. Of course, now the power has flipped. Now it's executive orders are tyranny and, you know, all the stuff that was great.
Yeah. I think the reality is one of the things, and we don't have to go into this right now, but I mean, we have to get rid of the filibuster. You know, that need for you know, 60 votes is part of the reason why, you know, Obama, you know, executive orders, Trump executive right. orders, and you know, Biden initially now executive orders. The filibuster has completely paralyzed our government. Our Senate is useless.
Yeah.
Our Senate is absolutely useless. And people want to blame Mitch McConnell. He doesn't help. But the reality is that a lot of that stuff, even if he puts it on the floor, there's no way in hell it's going to get the 60 votes needed to pass.
Okay. I agree with you on a lot of things, but it should be on the fucking floor.
Mitch McConnell is still very much at fault. But the reality is, if you play it forward, you know, if he puts it on the floor, then maybe 5% of the shit that's sitting on his desk gets through,
okay.
right? But the reality is, it paralyzes our government, and it allows these. And again, it's a easy way out for the people we send to Washington to do the business of the people,
right?
Because ultimately, they know that it's going to be gridlock. They it's great because you know what? I'm going to raise this bill. And it's going to be great, and it's going to get the Senate, and nothing's going to happen. And I can say I tried, and we don't have to worry about blah blah blah. You know,
right.
The people who don't like us can say, you know, they'll forget about it because it didn't pass, and I get reelected. Great, and that's just the reality. And so what it does is, that's part of the reason why these people can sit so comfortably. And even if they get primary, there's very little unless they, you know, I mean, unless the people really don't like them or they flip or they're you know, things get redistrict or things just the demographics change where they're at. But we that filibuster needs to go. It needed to go a long time ago. A lot of the reasons that it's been used, it's been brought up. I mean, the filibuster was used the most from 1901 to 1970. And what do they use it for?
Civil rights.
To stop civil rights.
To stop civil rights.
Absolutely. Right? It was absolutely used to fight the civil rights movement and progression in terms of getting rid of Jim Crow, getting rid of segregation, bringing equity and equality to black people. That is absolutely the most use that, that the filibuster has received. And you can argue has been the absolute most damaging of its use. Now, it's increased in usage over the last 20 years, right? Or well, yes, over the last 20 years because of the time frame, it's increased in usage because these politicians recognize that it basically lets them off the hook.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone says, oh, well, it's a way for the minority not to get run over by the majority. But at the end of the day, this is a democracy. This is a republic, right? You know what I mean? Like, this is the way that it's supposed to work, right? Like, if you don't want these things to happen, then you gotta bring people to your side. This whole thing with needing these super majorities, it's just not working. We're not getting anything done. It's the reason why we don't have cannabis legislation.
Right. Well, I was gonna say that we've argued discussed and sometimes argued about whether or not, you know, we would see the federal ban on cannabis happen in our lifetime. And I think the best chance it's ever had is right now, because there's House bills out there. Now Mitch McConnell can't sit on bills in the Senate.
Right, but you don't have enough, right? Like, I mean, you need to bring, you know, you got to bring.
I don't know that.
I do.
Okay.
You need
60, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you need 100% of Democrats, which you might not get. I think there's a lot of Republican senators who will vote to deschedule cannabis. Republican senators in 17, states like...
Right?
Or I'm sorry. No, 60, I think.
No. What I'm saying is the number of people you need to flip sides, right? So how many... So you've got 100, right? So you need 60.
60 out of 100.
Right.
So you need 10 to flip.
You need 10 to flip, but then there's some Democrat like... Manchin in West Virginia is not going to vote for it.
I don't know about that. I don't know what his stance is on.
I think that he won't just to like he like I think he likes the role that Mitch McConnell played, and I think he wants to play it.
Okay.
I could easily see him. He's coming out, and he's acting a lot like Mitch McConnell already, and he's not even the speaker.
Right. Joe Manchin is if there's a Republican in name only, he's a Democrat in name only.
Right.
But. You know,
but I mean, I
hate to say that though, because I don't want a purity test for Democrats. That's one of my beefs with the Republican Party.
Yeah, it's fine, but I mean, I think you have a very pie in the sky view of people's view of cannabis, right? I mean, I think it's still directly a party line vote. I think that the people that you have in there are just whether it's their own beliefs or what they believe their constituents want. I don't think that you have enough to get it, and the reality is, I don't think that the Republicans would want to give the Democrats that win. They don't care about the impact. They don't care about any of the reasons why it makes sense to do it. They just don't want the Democrats to have that win.
Well, I hope we find... I hope you're wrong. But I hope we find out, because it's been really annoying to me that we haven't even had these guys have a chance to put their name on it.
Yeah.
And that's, again, to what you said multiple times earlier today, it's cowardice and it's They're useless.
Self-preservation.
This job is great. I don't want to lose it. So, but we will definitely be continuing to talk about that.
But so we got way off. But you were talking about going back into the World Health Organization, and that's critical for so many reasons. Obviously, COVID, and you know Biden. You know everything coming out of Washington is that you know Biden and his team are walking into a train wreck in terms of the rollout of the vaccine and how we're dealing with it. I think maybe some of that is a little bit sort of, you know, media being kind of a little bit verbose. But obviously, it's not good, right? I mean, the rollout of the vaccine is not going well. You know, I think we've vaccinated, you know, less than 3% of the population. And you know, every time I turn on the radio, every state is out and, every you know, people are waiting right. in long lines. And the vaccine is being left out or it spent too much time in the sun or whatever. So it's we've got a long way to go to fix it. You know, us being back in communication with the worst of the world on how to address it, I think is critical. Listen, I think there's some legit complaints that we should have with the World Health Organization and the level to which they cater to China to try to, you know, buffer China from blame for all this. I'm not saying that this is the time to place blame and we should be attacking China as, you know, but at the same time, we shouldn't be making excuses for them and covering for them in this particular instance. I think the main focus needs to be vaccination and stopping the spread of it.
Right.
We can play the blame game later. And that's where I think Trump and his administration really kind of dropped the ball. There was more energy placed on, let's call it the China virus and make sure we blame China and, you know, talk about China, China, China. No, bitch, talk about how you're going to help people.
Yeah.
That's what I need. That's what I need. Talk about this vaccine. And it's really a shame. Trump should have been, you know, the last couple months, he should have been taking a victory lap about getting the vaccines, you know, getting the vaccines to approved and all that stuff. Like, listen, those are the sort of things that presidents should absolutely take credit for. Yes, it's the science community, and yes, those people worked on it. But listen, that did happen under his watch, and that is something that instead of telling people that the election was stolen, that is something he should have been tooting his horn about and saying, people, get out there and get your vaccinations.
Right.
Instead of getting those people riled up about going to the Capitol, he should have been getting them riled up about going to CVS to get a fucking needle in their arm. And he didn't, and I think he missed a major opportunity there. And I don't know, is it too little too late? I mean, with where we're at in terms of, I mean, things are just in such, you know, I mean, we'll get it resolved, but I mean.
Yeah. I mean, or we won't, because if 50% of people refuse to take the vaccine.
Which is legitimate. We could be looking at that legitimately.
Right. And if that's the case, that doesn't make the vaccine useless, but it certainly doesn't make it do what we need it to do.
Right.
One of the best, you know, memes or popped up or whatever is a kid asks her mom, what's that mark on your arm? And she says, it's a smallpox vaccine. And she goes, well, why don't I have one? Because it worked.
Right.
So obviously not original thought by me, but that is what vaccines have done. That's why polio didn't wipe us out. It's why smallpox didn't wipe us out. I understand there's lots of distrust from lots of different angles, but that's what vaccines require, mass cooperation. And one thing we don't have in the world today is mass cooperation.
Yeah.
Or in the country. Actually, talk about the world now. You sent me the story, and this is one of the most awful things I've heard in a long time. There was a massacre at an Oriental Orthodox church, which I presume is a Christian religion. I didn't actually look up what their background is. But 750 people killed in Ethiopia. There's craziness. And
okay, so I'm sorry. So 750 people killed is the story. What's going on in Ethiopia right now? It's been going on since the fall, late October, early November. You know, you've got two battling political factions. People are being caught in the middle. Civilians, innocent women, children are just being killed by two different sort of entities that see themselves that should be ruling the government or have more say in the government, depending on what side you're on. And it's brutal to the point where you've got people in Ethiopia running to the Sudan, where nobody goes to the Sudan
right.
for, like, you know, relief of anything, right? I mean, the Sudan is the environment itself is brutal just from nature. And then what's going on there in terms of their,
political unrest, political for years,
rebellion and everything else is not good. So the fact that people are running from Ethiopia to Sudan tells you how bad it is there. But the part that blew my fucking mind.
Okay, I was going to say, if we're not talking about this.
Is that, and I can't even, like, I literally had to read it, like, maybe 10 times. But apparently this church is where the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, is held. And there's like a high priestess that guards it. No one's able to see it, so there's questions on whether it's there. But it holds, like, literally, this is Indiana fucking Jones. This is Indiana fucking Jones, like, and it happened in fucking Ethiopia. And I'm like, what? Like, I mean, like, you know that the Ark of the Covenant, like, the Bible, if you read the Bible or whatever, like, so you can kind of make the connections. And then you see the movie Indiana Jones, and it just makes it so Hollywood that you just think that there's no way that this is real. And then you read this story, and the funny thing is the way they put it in the story, it's just kind of like one of the bullet points.
Right.
Right, and you're just like, wait, go back to that thing you said that they made a movie about that you're saying is apparently real?
We're going to grab that thing, and that's going to help our armies win the battle against our opponents.
So I don't know. I'll tweet it out for people to read, but I thought it's incredibly sad for the people of Ethiopia, but just this sort of weird historical, you know, thing.
I mean, look, we were talking about religion earlier today, just amongst ourselves. And we should talk about that on the show sometime. But there are still people in the world today who believe if you get this box that contains the remains of the Ten Commandments, it can literally catapult your army to victory.
Jim, the fact that there are literally people in this world that are, in 2021, that are raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yep.
Right, they put that in there, and I'm like, wait, is this a spoof? Like, is this The Onion? Did I get fucked over here? And no, this was real.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
it's not getting much play either. So no, tweet it out.
It's really not. I definitely will put it out there for people to kind of look at. It's worth talking about. I think it needs to be brought to the attention of the administration. Like, look, you know, and I'm not saying because of the Lost Ark, but what I'm saying is, listen, you had 750 people killed. I think that was January 20th, and they've had thousands of people killed since October and November. It's a genocide going on over there. So I know we have the audacity to kind of step in on a situation like that, considering what we have going on here. But what we have going on here isn't that. And there are people there who need help. And whether we're the ones to do it or not, I don't know.
I think it has to be multinational.
Yes, it needs to be multinational, and we can lead the way or help another African nation lead the way, but something needs to happen.
But what can't happen is Rwanda 2.0.
No.
We cannot put our troops in there, put them in harm's way, and say, but don't do shit.
Right.
Either you do it or you don't. How many times have I said on our show, the half-assed approach almost never works.
Never works.
And it's usually a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
And so
we're seeing it now with this COVID thing. We've seen it with, you know, pretty much every military thing that we've done in the last 20, 30 years. So yeah, you're right, which is part of the reason why maybe we should stay away, but somebody needs to jump in and help.
It needs to be multinational. It needs to be, you know,
and maybe we don't, like, well, what I'm saying, not stay away, but maybe we shouldn't be leading the charge here, but we need to be involved with others to try to help the people that are just getting massacred and murdered. And it's not their fault.
And they don't have a Second Amendment in Ethiopia, so I'm guessing the average civilian does not have...
No, the Second Amendment or the First. Right, or really any of the amendments. It's a whole different ballgame, so...
All right, so let's move on. Hank Aaron passed away.
Yeah.
Hank Aaron was 86 years old, and I don't think the hell that guy went through gets nearly the attention it deserves. And that includes from me. And what really triggered me, so after he passed away, I was watching CNN report on it, and they were like showing people scanning through the death threats that he had received, especially as he was approaching Ruth's record. Mm-hmm. And what really struck me... Well, it was two things. One is, today it's really easy to tweet out something racist and mean and whatever. These people took the time to write a letter, put it in an envelope.
A letter. Yes.
Put an address on it and put a stamp on it and say, make sure that this guy knows that I hate him and hope he dies. And what I just said is nicer than what was written in some of these letters. And what really struck me, I've seen the famous 715th home run multiple times on TV. And it always struck me as, you know, a momentous moment in sports, which it certainly was. But a bunch of people ran onto the field to, like, pat him on the back as he was running the bases.
Yeah.
If you're Hank Aaron, that had to be fucking terrifying. There's people threatening to kill
you. Have you ever heard him talk about that?
You know what? I don't think I have.
So I've heard him talk about it. And if you look at his reaction, it is one of, what the hell is going on? Get off me. I just want to get the home plate. Because he didn't know if these people were coming to hurt him.
Right. I never thought about that until...
Yeah, and he talked about it. Now, here's the thing, though, with Hank Aaron, man. You listen to an interview, and people ask him about what he faced, and he really didn't talk about it. He was like, yeah, they sent me death threats. That sucked. Anyway, I just kept hitting home runs. He never let it truly affect, you know, he never let it show that it affected him, you know, I mean, right. And, it, you know, Jackie Robinson was in a different situation because he was, you know, him and Larry Doby were the first,
right?
And they just got so much of it, and they even had to deal with the, with their own teammates, you know, some sure. of them, and it was a different situation. But what was happening with Hank Aaron, you know, he was able to just, like, every day he just went to work and did his job. Worked to work, did his job. He put his heart and soul into baseball because he loved the game, and he loved to entertain people. You know, Hank Aaron came up in the game, you know, during the civil rights movement and through sure. the 70s and everything else. And so he knew what he represented for people who looked like him and even the people who didn't. There are a lot, there's so many white baseball fanatics that talk about, you know, just hammering Hank Aaron, you know, especially, you know, probably 10, 15, 20 years older than me. And it speaks to just the giant that he was,
right.
you know, the real life Avenger, the real life superhero that he was. Because when you got people literally threatening your life every day because of a game that you do, because of your job, you know, saying that if you do your job well, we want you to die. And still to be able to not let that impact you and basically do it in spite of them, to spite them in their face. Like, listen, your death threat means nothing to me. Your disdain for me means nothing for me. I'm going to continue to do it, and I hope it burns, right? But the reality is Hank Aaron probably didn't even want those people to feel pain, right? Like,
no.
He's not a spiteful dick like I am, you know? Like, every home run I hit, you know, I want to hold up a sign, you know,
fuck
off. And that's not how Hank Aaron was. And beautiful man, beautiful soul, very sad that he's gone. It really sucks. Just... I just love the opportunities, and I hadn't seen him in a while, you know, on TV or whatever,
right.
but it was always cool to hear just him talk, and not even about the racial aspect, but just about him as a player, because, I mean, he was just kind of something to behold.
Yeah, and I felt guilty. I felt bad. Like, I never really gave it any thought.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I knew that there were people who hated him for breaking Ruth's record. I knew... You know, he faced a ton of racism. So I
yeah.
knew that. But it became very visceral the other day. It's not something I think about in the same terms as a Jackie Robinson. And yes,
yeah.
breaking down the color barrier, you know, makes it a different story.
It just but, listen, me, you know, one of my, you've seen my jacket with the Negro League Baseball
sure.
patches on it and things like that. I just wanted it to be very comfortable and warm. But
yeah.
I think it's just a really cool,
that's a cool jacket,
sort
yeah.
of a tribute to the Negro League Baseball players. I played baseball as a kid. Actually, the reason why I stopped playing baseball was, like, I broke my leg 3 times playing the sport.
Okay.
Right. I played football, and I had some bad injuries, but I was able to keep playing. Like, baseball was the only sport that I played that actually prevented me from playing sports. But I loved it. My dad, like, I talk a lot about my dad. My dad's a very insightful guy. So, like, I couldn't do anything without understanding a deeper meaning, right? Like, so with football... I needed to understand, like, who some of the great players of all time in football were if I was going to play. And then I had to understand the context of a Jim Brown. I had to understand the context of a Thorpe. I had to understand the context of even, like, a Roger Staubach playing, you know, like, coming from Navy and being, you know, like, all these different
right.
things. And so with baseball, it was the same way. I had to understand Jackie Robinson. I had to know who Larry Doby was. I had to understand what Hank Aaron went through when he was going through, or Satchel Paige or Bob Gibson and all this other stuff, right? Like, I couldn't just play. Like, I had to understand
right.
that, like, listen, there are people who sacrificed a lot for you to be able to play this game. So if you're going to play it, it's not going to be all fun. You need to know why and how you're able to do it.
And it's really, it has a special place in my heart as well. My grandfather, who, had he lived, would have turned 100 today.
Holy shit.
Today? He would have, yeah, today is my grandpa, would have been my grandfather's 100th birthday. He passed
wow.
away in 2013. But he was a baseball fanatic. When I was a kid, I don't think he and I had a conversation, no, in my life, I don't think we had a conversation longer than 5 minutes. that did not in some way involve baseball. When I played baseball as a kid, he came to my games. My dad came to my games. It was a sport I was very good at as a youngster. And I, oddly, one of the worst injuries I ever had was shattering both bones in my right leg playing softball with a fat beer league guy. And I had to turn that double into a triple and had to slide and let my toe catch the bag and blew my leg to pieces. It was gross. But baseball, like you, holds a very special place in my heart. And like I said, I'm a little ashamed of myself for not having known more about Hank Aaron. I knew the stats, and I knew he'd overcome a lot, but I didn't know as much.
And there's also the fact that, you know, he breaks Babe Ruth's record, and just this year, Major League Baseball included the statistics from the Negro League.
Yep.
Into basically the historical major league statistics. So Babe Ruth has that record, but he didn't play against black players. And that's substantial because some really fucking good black players in the Negro Leagues during that same time where he was playing during that era. And then also, you know, throughout the years. So that's something like worth noting. Right. It's nothing against Babe Ruth. I mean, Babe Ruth wasn't the one who said they couldn't play, although Babe Ruth wasn't
probably not the nicest
guy, so I'm not even going to go down that road right now. But, it's a hell of an accomplishment for Hank Aaron. And, he paved the way for a lot of people after him. I don't think we have a Barry Bonds without a Hank Aaron, you know. So I know people don't like Barry Bonds, but I fucking love him.
Okay.
And, whether you like him or not, he's still one of the greatest players of all time, and that's before all that shit happened. But
I dislike him, but I will say he's probably the greatest hitter of all time. The most amazing statistic for him that I know this happened at least once.
The walks?
The intentional walk with the bases loaded.
Mm-hmm.
They literally said, "We'll give up a run, we just don't want you swinging the bat."
I can't remember if it was a World Series game, it was in a playoff game, I saw that happen.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, in a playoff game, bases loaded, Barry Bonds, like, fuck it, just walk him. We'll give up that run. It's worth giving up that run because he's going to hit a home run. But moving on past baseball, Larry King.
Larry King passed away.
Today, right?
Yesterday, I think.
I don't know. Either way, Larry King died.
Yeah. I was not a fan of Larry King. I thought he was kind of a weird, creepy old guy since I was a teenager. Like, he'd show up on Letterman all the time.
He's been old as long as I've been alive, it feels like, right? Yeah.
And what's funny is he was 87. The idea that he and Hank Aaron were 1 year apart is just wild to me.
And then if you see a picture of Hank Aaron from like 3 years ago and a picture of Larry King 3 years ago, you're just like, Larry King doesn't even look alive in that picture.
He was an interesting character.
He was a character. I never really watched him. You know, when he was really on TV a lot, I was a little young.
Steve in Cleveland, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen probably more, you know, spoofs and people. And
the animation characters.
Yeah, of him than actually of him. I know he was around for a long time. Very well-respected guy. I know he had a lot of heart attacks and he had a lot of wives, a lot of ex-wives.
I don't know which he had more of.
Right. I don't either. I know it was just a lot of both.
I think at least five wives.
Yeah.
I got nothing bad to say about him. Just it was kind of a shocker. Oh, he was still alive. Right. He was only 87.
Well, you sent me the text and you said Larry King died, he was 87. And I'm like, really? That's it? I always thought he was closer to 100.
Me too. All right. We got to get going. We're a bit over, but we got to do one thing real quick. Philip Rivers retired.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's asking the question, including me.
I'm not.
Does he go to the Hall of Fame?
My answer is no.
Okay.
I mean, statistically,
his numbers are amazing.
You're going to say statistically, he's thrown for a shit ton of yards and a lot of touchdowns, also a lot of interceptions. He's got a lot of wins. But how many playoff wins does he have?
I think four.
Okay, so he's got four playoff wins.
Made it to a championship game.
Never made it to an AFC championship game and never made it to a Super Bowl, obviously, if he's ever been to a championship game. So I'm not sure. I mean, are we really going to throw him in for just winning, throwing for a whole bunch of yards in an era where it was, kind of the thing to do, throw for a bunch of yards? So the reality is he'll probably get in because he was very, 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 very good for a long time. I would say no. And people are going to say, well, how could you put in Eli Manning over Philip Rivers, all things considered? I'm like, Eli Manning won two fucking Super Bowls, whether you like it or not. He was the MVP of both. And I remember specific plays from Eli Manning winning Super Bowls. The only plays I remember from Philip Rivers are him talking shit after throws, right? And yelling at guys when he gets sacked. Listen, he's a great player. He'll probably get in. If I were voting, my vote would be no. But more than willing to listen to people. And I know what the argument is for him. I just disagree.
I think it's going to happen, but it's going to take a long time. I think it's going to be just like Andre Reed. There's just too many other guys at his position that are slam dunks. Eli Manning, you've already said.
Yeah, but here's the reason why. Like, listen, Eli already retired. Right. Like, so they're not going in at the same time.
Right.
Eli's probably going to be a first ballot. So they're not going to be up. And Ben's probably going to play another year. And Breeze, the question is, you know, can you put him and Breeze in the same time? Sure, why not?
You can, but Andre Reed got, you know, kind of held back in the logjam. He had Chris Carter ahead of him.
It's receivers, right? I mean, it's just different. I think it's just completely different when it comes to receivers and quarterbacks.
Okay, well, I think Philip Rivers is going to be on the ballot a lot without getting in because of people like you who think he doesn't belong there, followed by...
Listen, Philip Rivers is a second ballot Hall of Famer. He won't get in on the first one. He'll probably... If Breeze retires this year, like we all believe he will, Breeze gets in... Philip will have to wait. Philip will get in next year. The next year.
Do you remember once we were having a similar...
Unless Brady and Ben both retire, then... Right. Okay. So then...
There's your logjam.
But...
do you remember us having that conversation? This was years ago. We were having this exact same conversation. And I was talking about Breeze, and you thought I was talking about Rivers. And I was saying, do you think he gets in the Hall of Fame a couple years ago? And you thought I was talking about Breeze. I'm like... And you said, he's the all-time leading passer in the NFL. I'm like, Philip Rivers is the all-time leading passer in the NFL? And anyway, we had this conversation in a bar years ago, and it was a funny miscommunication.
Oh, in a bar, that means there was booze involved.
There was indeed.
Memory not serving me correctly.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
Good talking to you as always, and we are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We're done.